There's something about timing in life, and sometimes, unfortunately, the timing is perfect. And that's because in this particular situation, joining us live in studio this morning is Derek Shenko. Now, Derek is the chief mental health officer of the Kelowna-based Diversified Rehabilitation Group. And he's in Calgary this week for the Canadian Institute for Public Safety Research and Treatment Conference. And this is about looking at first responders' mental health and treatment. And this is the week for Derek to be in town, if there was ever a week, because not only did we lose a 12-year-old in a drowning incident in Mahogany Lake that first responders attended to, but last week we also lost two children, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old in a double murder. And at the police press conference, Staff Sergeant Mark Ron spoke about the tremendous effect this is having on our first responders.
You know, the death of a child and investigating the death of a child and discovering dead children is incredibly traumatic for everyone, not just for us, but for the other first responders, EMS that attended, our medical examiner, everyone. The autopsies are ongoing as we speak right now, and that's incredibly difficult. So, you know, you check in with your people. I think my people are doing well. This is what we do. We love our jobs. So, you know, this is what we do.
Derek Shenko, Chief Mental Health Officer of Kelowna's Diversified Rehabilitation Group in our city right now. Welcome to the show, Derek.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Of all the realms and worlds to be focused on and be an expert in, how did first responder mental health treatment and care become your space?
Well, through my own journey, I went through a traumatic injury myself and had the privilege to change my life around. And I became involved in working and helping people in a clinical setting. And this was the first time when I encountered working with first responders. And I got intrigued by the nature of traumatic experience, and some of the similarities were there. And I said, I really want to get to know this environment, the culture, and how we can be for them as the same way as they are there for us.
First responders, police officers, firefighters, paramedics, they see, experience, and endure things the rest of us never, ever will. So share a little bit how that means their mental health and their journey is so specific to them and their profession.
Well, they see, as you mentioned, they see trauma on a daily basis, you know, very different way than we do on, as a general public. They run into the fire when we run out of the building, and they experience cumulative trauma. So this, and we need to remember that behind every badge, there's a human being, and sooner or later, that's going to have an impact on you. When you're exposed to that cumulative trauma and it's chronic exposure, which generates trauma, and they want to be strong. They want to be there for us. So for them, seeking help, it's not an easy thing to ask. And sometimes they don't even know how to do that.
Do first responders understand that this can be coming for them? A dead 12-year-old in a lake, two murdered children in a car, truly before they get into it and in their training? Or is it a situation where it has to happen to them and then they can respond with their healthcare teams?
I think when they signed up for the job, they are aware that this might be the case, but you are never ready for it, and it gets and wears on you. So being able to decompose this, being able to have the right skill set to make that happen, it's never easy to learn this for yourself. You know, we always help others, but we rarely help ourselves.
You've been doing this for 2 decades. How far or not has our understanding of first responder mental health and care come over 20 years? Are we moving incredibly towards a place of compassionate care and understanding, or are there still significant roadblocks even in 2026?
It is better than it used to be, and I'm very proud for us as a society that we are taking this seriously. But there's still a lot that needs to take place before we are truly there for the first responders the way they deserve to receive help, one having equal access to treatment, based treatment on their needs, not what we think they need. And the other one would be normalizing mental health. Yes, it's 10 times better than it used to be, but still that self-stigma, which is basically... I should be able to help myself. I should be there for my colleagues. So all of those speed bumps that are preventing them from reaching out for help or afraid of losing a job. And there's organizational stigma. We are not there yet when it comes to trauma-informed leadership. We are more focused on transactional leadership versus transformational leadership. The difference between those two is I tell you, here's the job to do. Do as I say. And the other one is more supportive, more engaging, being there for people and really understanding and promoting psychological wellness.
And the badge must in some ways help, because these are people who do have unions that support them. They have leadership, they have colleagues. But I also imagine there is just the idea that these are the strongest people. These are the people who save us. And so in some ways that also holds them back from seeking the care that they seek to provide for others.
Absolutely right. As I earlier mentioned, for them to seek help is a really challenging thing. And the reason for that, because they are the strongest. They feel that they should be able to handle this on their own. And not promoting and not nurturing mental health wellness within the organization and as a community actually puts them in a disadvantage.
One of the really unique things about right now, Derek, in our city is the Calgary Police Commission last year said 19% of their members, 19% were either on leave or had been reassigned to a different job because of mental health issues and other issues that have changed the way they work, they do their job. Having almost a fifth of your members in this situation shows this job is unlike any other job.
That's correct. It wears on you and impacts you in a very profound way. As I mentioned earlier, it's a cumulative exposure and trauma and what they are dealing with. And then having a way to release that or process this usually doesn't come easy. And this is frequently where we are lacking that support, either to self-stigma or organizational stigma or organizational stressors. The family of those who are there to protect us are the first one who see that.
Mm. But what about the role of the community as well? So it's one thing about the first responder getting treatment, help, talking. Then there's their family, their spouse, their parents, their children. But then when we talk about the broader community, the city also enduring deaths and trauma and collisions and all these other horrific things, can a community support its first responders?
Absolutely, in every possible way. You know, the best way, if you see them, just thank them for what they are doing and what they do for us. And ask them, hey, are you taking care of yourself the same way as you're taking care of us? Raising that awareness and normalizing mental health and seeing them that behind that badge, there's a human being who also needs help. Now, that statement, it will resonate with first responders. Listen, behind this badge, there's also a human being. So if we talk to our first responders from that perspective, as a community, showing the support and recognizing that they go through a lot, it will start taking care of that stigma in a way that will fade away, and normalizing that mental health is something that we should be looking on a daily basis, specifically in those first responders' positions.
Now, what about a first responder who's listening right now, who has not gone to their superior, their manager, their union, and they're hearing you talk, Derek, and it's all ringing true, but they're burning on the inside because they know something, there's that tingle. Something is not right. They haven't asked for help. They don't know how to ask for help. What does the first responder do in this situation?
So first, I would like you to let you know that you are not alone. And I know that first step, to take that first step, it's the hardest thing that you can do to help yourself. Start gently, start exploring by either talking to your clinician, go on the internet, find out of the basic mental health help that you can get for yourself to take that first step. But remember, you are not alone. It's okay not to be okay and to ask for help. And help is right there. Sometimes it's hard to ask for that help. But once you take that first step, it's going to get better.
This is a chain, isn't it? Because you listen and work and discuss with first responders, and then you shoulder some of this. And then you share with your people, your colleagues, your doctors, and they shoulder a little too. But if it's going down the chain, everyone shoulders a little, but that also means everyone is supporting everyone and not leaving one group alone to be isolated.
I have a very simple answer to that. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes the entire community to be for each other, and first responders is that group that we need to be there for them as well, the same way as they are there for us.
In 2026, what else do we need to do? What else do we need to offer our police officers, our paramedics, our firefighters in this world to really support them? You said we've come a long way in 20 years, but there's more work to be done. What is a specific concrete moment that needs to happen sooner rather than later to keep this discussion moving forward?
Keep talking about that on the community level. Just express that support and gratitude to first responders. From the system level, it's really, I call this a one-time attempt. When a first responder is seeking for help, be there for them. Create a journey that it's not full of speed bumps. It's a journey where you can easily access that help, and the help that actually is designed with the needs of first responders. First responders are, it's a unique group of people, and they require a unique professionals to work with them. Cultural awareness is one of them, and we need to put more emphasis on that, making services, customizing those services to first responders' needs.
It has been an awful week here in the city, but the people who have been on site of these tragedies are our first responders. And the timing this week just so happens that the Canadian Institute for Public Safety Research and Treatment Conference also in town, looking at the mental health care and treatment of our first responders. Derek Shenko is the Chief Mental Health Officer of the Kelowna-based Diversified Rehabilitation Group in our city this week, discussing this very topic. Thank you for joining us in studio this morning. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for having me.